Let's have our next question.
What one single outcome would the panel like to see from the COP28 annual climate conference?
Which, of course, is taking place now in Dubai. George, single outcome? Can you pick one?
Leave fossil fuels in the ground. It's so simple. So I thank you for the question. There's now been 27 of these meetings. 25 of them have been total failures. Two of them have been partial successes, 1997 and 2015. Not a single final agreement from any of those meetings has said what needs to be done, which is to leave fossil fuels in the ground. And unless we leave fossil fuels in the ground, we have absolutely no hope of preventing climate breakdown. Because it's a bit like going on a diet and saying, OK, yes, I did eat a gigantic tub of ice cream and an enormous cake, but I also ate a salad, so why aren't I losing weight? Doesn't matter how many wind turbines you put up. Doesn't matter how many solar panels you put up. Unless you're retiring fossil fuel infrastructure, unless you are legislating to leave coal, oil and gas where it belongs, which is in geological strata, you are going to cook the planet. It is as simple as that. And as a result of the highly effective and lethal fossil fuel lobbying, which has been a bugbear of these conferences from the very beginning, from 1992, and has now got to such a ridiculous point that the president of COP28 is in his day job the chief executive of the UAE oil and gas company ADNOC, which is currently expanding its oil production. That is what has thwarted the simple things that need to be done. And while we wait and wait, the years tick by, and we've got so few years left now. We're going to have to take drastic action if we're going to avoid what could well be Earth systems collapse. I mean, this is the most important predicament humanity has ever faced. And by design, as a result of the enormous oppressive power of the fossil fuel industry, we're flunking it.
So, George says leave fossil fuels in the ground. The government is issuing new oil licences and wants to continue doing that every year.
Yeah, look, nobody disagrees with that direction of travel and no one disagrees with that destination. The question is all about how we get there and how we bring people with us and how we make sure that we actually make this transition meaningful. So that we take the actions that we have. Now, you know, the idea that you would never use fossil fuels again would not be something anybody would argue against. The question is, the impact of that is extraordinary in this country on people's livelihoods, on people's jobs. And the issue is around doing that in a balanced way, as you've seen, for example, with this, with the net zero target and so on that this Prime Minister's raised at a party conference. It is about bringing people with us. We all agree on the destination. We all agree on that. The trouble is you're a very emotional speaker, and right, you know, the world's going to all end tomorrow. The trouble is we have to do this in a way, when you're kind of, you know, dealing with this in the reality of it, you can't just turn the system off, right, put people out of their jobs, have people living in poverty, and just throw up a load of wind turbines and think it's going to be okay. The other issue is around energy security. And we've seen that this year with what's going on in Ukraine and with Putin. And we can't end up in that situation again where we are so reliant on him. So I accept you have a different view. But I think you know, it's incredibly emotional and misleading. We all agree with that destination and no one disagrees with that destination. It's about how we get there. And actually, extraordinary progress has been made under this government.
No, extraordinary progress has not been made under this government. It has deliberately trashed some of the progress even that was made under Boris Johnson's government. There are such simple things we could do. For example, the government is currently spending £78 billion across 2 years in subsidising people's energy bills. But for £8 billion, it could insulate the 3 million homes most in need, greatly cutting people's bills and greatly cutting our emissions. We now have a situation where renewables are much cheaper than fossil fuels. But the government is deliberately trying to lock us into fossil fuels, not for the sake of the people of this country, not to cut our bills, it does exactly the opposite, for the sake of the oil and gas industry. The government, the Tory party rather, has taken £3.5 million in donations from polluting industries This is the quid pro quo.
The woman here.
I'd just like to ask you a question, George. Do you honestly sit there and think that in number 10 every day, the Prime Minister and the government wake up and they think, we're just going to torch the world?
Yes, roughly.
Right, that plays into your narrative, right? But it's not reality.
They just don't
you're
care.
You're misleading people.
The fact is they don't care.
You're deliberately
misleading. Sunak himself.
All right.
Sunak himself, he flew to COP28 in a 200-seater jet. But he was the only minister who flew in that jet. Other ministers flew in separate private jets. He doesn't care. He treats his whole country like a flyover state, blatting backwards and forwards in his helicopters and private jets.
George, let
it
me...
It doesn't
me,
even...
Let me bring
your
other people in. The woman there in the shirt. Yes. Yes, you.
The Conservative narrative around extracting new oil from UK waters is that it will provide us energy security. Yeah. That's all you ever say. Mm-mm. Please explain how that will give us more energy security than a community-owned renewable energy system.
Sure. So the issue around energy security, clearly we have imported cheap oil and gas from Russia and other places for a long time now, and we don't have control over that, as we've seen with this conflict now. Now, if you could suddenly make a transition straight to green energy, why would you not do it? The trouble is, with
all these
things,
it's not
black and white, and you can't just pull that lever and make it happen.
How will you have control over it?
Towards net zero, and this is part of that.
But the question is, how does it, by issuing these new oil licences, how does it make our energy supply more secure, given that it will be produced by a private company that can sell it to the highest bid and we will not have first dibs on that? So how does it make it
because,
more secure?
Because we will be able to control that production.
No, we won't.
No.
So
it's down to private companies.
No, but we will be able to control what is going on in that space in order to make sure that energy goes through to the United Kingdom in times like this when Putin turns off the gas.
How
and we
sell
don't
it
have
to
anything.
Us any cheaper than they'll sell it to everybody else in the world? It's a lie.
Hang on, George.
Let's make the point.
No, just repeat what you said because we couldn't.
It's a lie. It's a complete and outright lie. While my children are growing up in an awful biodiversity, nature depleted country. I can't.
Well, the point you're making is that if it's a private company selling the oil, how will it make us more secure? Because we will be no more likely to get hold of it than anyone else. And that you've not been able to
answer. No, I disagree because of the controls that we'll put in place that make sure that when we have a better balance, i.e. we're not taking all this oil.
So we'll requisition it.
We're going to have that.
Okay,
so,
George, I'm going to
bring this is all in the theoretical anyway, isn't it?
Well, you made the claim about security, so you were just being asked to justify it. Peter?
So much moralising, so much posturing. What do people actually think they're achieving? Anybody can look. It's called the Energy Dashboard. You can get it up on your computer anytime and see on a normal day in this country where the power which is lighting your home and your place of work and everything else you see, where it's coming from. And on a day when the wind isn't blowing, it's largely coming from gas. Or it's coming from imported power, which quite often comes from the Netherlands, where they still burn coal. We don't burn coal anymore because we didn't just close down our coal-fired power stations, we blew them up. We were so certain we were right to do so. At the same time, China is, even as we speak, building the equivalent of two new coal-fired power stations a week. India has a vast expansion program of coal-fired power stations. Even if George is right about his tremendous predictions of apocalypse, and I'm not saying he's wrong, I'm in no position to say he's wrong, even if he's right, the contribution which this country is making by what it's doing to these outcomes is not merely minimal, it's non-existent. Everything that we do is completely blotted out by what much larger countries are doing to maintain their own power. Now, if you want to live in a country with net zero, if you want to live in a country where nobody can afford to heat their house, where people have incredibly expensive and largely non-functioning heat pumps inflicted on them, if you want that kind of thing to happen to you, if you want lots of people to lose their jobs because there's no energy If you want to be cold all the time, if you want the computers which make life possible in practically every form of life to shut down every so often, then carry on believing that the demand to go for net zero, to keep it in the ground, is intelligent and thoughtful. Even if George is right, this is not an intelligent response to it.
OK, but Peter, in terms of the question, what single outcome would the panel like to see? What single outcome would you like to see from COP?
Well, I'd love to hear someone at one of these conferences say, do you know what, perhaps we might be wrong.
OK,
that would be the
all
best
right,
outcome for all of us. Just somebody to say it, just for once. And the BBC might do the same thing as well, I imagine.